a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire. It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
Welcome back to the Razzball Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, JB Gilpin. It is Wednesday, January 28th, 2015, almost a month into 2015. It's crazy. It's crazy, Slim. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Watched my Kyrie score 30.
Ah, nice. Yep. I was about to get really mad because, you know, when you said Kyrie, I wasn't lying when I said that's who I wanted to pick. And then I'm looking at Derrick Rose having like 20-ish points, and I'm like, eh. Then he had like 28 about halfway through the fourth. And he missed everything. And finally hits a step-back jumper at the end of overtime to win the game to get exactly 30 points for me. Woo!
He did it on 30-something shots with 11 turnovers?
Yeah,
something like
I think it was 33 shots, 11 turnovers, but all I care about is that he scored 30 points.
Because you don't have him on an actual fantasy team.
Oh, exactly. That's the whole point of the 30-point challenge. You're one stat
if people with him on their fantasy team were not too happy when they looked at that line.
Probably not. Dude, I'm pumped for today's show. I'm getting caffeinated. I've got some Peruvian coffee here. It's delicious. Mm.
Is that the kind that's shot out of some monkey's rear end?
I hope not. I know that's a thing. But, it was whole bean coffee. Unless these monkeys can pass the beans whole bean. I really don't know how that works. I've never tried it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're tied down in some basement somewhere, just fed caffeine all day.
Those monkeys have got to go nuts. All right, on today's show, we're going to recap Tuesday night's games, going game to game through all of the scores, including a huge double-double from a guy we both like. Then we're going to interview Razzball's own Dan A. to talk about his buy-sell article that published today. It'll be out by the time you listen to this. Talk to him about all things Toronto Raptors. That's his stomping ground. Then we're going to recap the RCL leaders, including a shakeup at the top of the Razzball Commenter League standings. The same team was up there for about 6 or 7 weeks. They have been toppled. And then we're going to wrap up the show previewing Wednesday's heavy slate of games with another round of our 30-point challenge picks, and we can only hope it was as good as last night.
Y'all ready for this?
So, Slim, are you ready to gamble on Rodney Stuckey as a pickup?
I'm not thrilled about it. There's a lot of other guards out there right now I'd rather have.
Like, would you rather have Langston Galloway?
Yeah, I think so.
Me too.
He doesn't shoot the threes, doesn't steal the ball. And I think this resurgence kind of has something to do with CJ Miles being down.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Miles has been out a little bit. Stuckey last night played 39 minutes. Whew. 22-7-2, hits 8-16, 6-7 from the line. But, you know, like you said, no steals, no blocks, no threes. It's fairly empty scoring, but I could see streaming him for a little bit while Miles is out.
Yeah, points and free throws. That's about it.
Yep, and, you know, they're going to play George Hill only as 20 minutes, and when they do that, I mean, Hill's playing pretty well. Goes 13-2-3 with the steal and two trays last night. You know, Hill's per-minute numbers are great this year, but just not going to play those minutes.
I imagine they should go up as we progress, assuming he's really healthy. So I don't think he'll ever get to that 35-36 number, but by the end of the year, it could very well get up to 30.
Yeah, I could. I would assume so as well. But you know,
I mean, they're playing for the long run, though. They're not really playing to win anything this year. So
that's
maybe if they start playing well and winning, they might actually give him less minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think they're gonna really, really play him with kids' gloves on. Is that the phrase? Kids' gloves? I don't know.
Whose kids are boxing? That's head trauma, man. Don't do that.
Oh, I know. It's wild. You know, Ian Mahimi, for some deep league usability, 2 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, usually gets a block here and there. He's a terrible free throw shooter, but I was kind of mad. I had him early in the year in the REL. Then he had plantar fascia. I tried to get him back, but someone else fabbed him from me. I think he's a useful little deep league boards and blocks guy.
Yeah, I guess for all those people that were riding LaVoy Allen for a while, they can make the switch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty low end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, like,
about it.
Super, super low end. To the Raptors, DeMar DeRozan's back on track. Another good game. Kyle Lowry, you know, triple-double flirt. What's the surprise there? 19-7-8. But what's your trust level with Valanciunas? Because, I mean, he has, like, four good games. Before that, he had some duds, and now he has another dud last night. Goes 6-8 with only one block in 27 minutes. Did have foul trouble, but he's just so inconsistent.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have him anywhere. I'm not going out of my way to go get him anywhere. I don't love it. He's not playing 30 minutes, like, ever.
Mm-hmm. You
know, not since, what, January 12th, so 8 games. Yeah, it's the, you know, the good team trying to win. And if somebody else is playing well, like, you know, Pat's been playing well. So
yeah, Pat. What a game from Pat. Almost a rainbow line. 13-3-3-2-1 with no turnovers and hit a couple threes. He's really picking it back up again.
Yeah, they've settled into their roles. It's a good team.
It is indeed a good team. And when a good team plays a bad team, your better players step up. Cough. Valanciunas sucks. Cough. You know, what do you think about Lou Williams? I mean, you know, 14 points, no rebounds, one assist, one steal, one block. Block's weird. I still kind of like Lou Williams. I think he's a little undervalued just because, you know, he brings some high-volume free throws to you still, 6-7 last night. And, you know, it's Thragnoff with good free throws, and I think that's still useful. And the steals, man, I remember earlier in the year you tried to challenge me on the steals. Steals have kept up pretty good.
They've been okay. He knows his role. He plays a lot of energy in his role, so I guess that's what's keeping those up. But yeah, the low-end rebounds and assists, those kind of hurt the value quite a bit. And the high-volume free throws, though, it's been really surprising. We're still career high there.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, and I'm not saying Lou Williams is like a top, you know, 75 player that you need to go out and trade for right now. Just as kind of like a bottom-end guy you should hold on to. I feel like a lot of people have asked him versus
Depends on your, I think it depends on your team and what your team needs are. There's a lot of teams that he would help a lot, but there's some that just don't need that.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Free throws, you know, because it's just a percent, you know, you're not counting anything. So if you're good with free throw percent, then, you know, he's not that great.
Yeah, I think he's a useful bottom end guy in 12ers, but that's me.
Yeah, I haven't seen him, like, available to stream anywhere, so I guess somebody's been holding on to him for a while.
Well, it's me and, I think, RRCL. All right, so going to the Malice at the Palace. Yeah, that's not really what happened. But, you know, both the Cleveland guys going at Detroit get 30-plus points. LeBron for 32, 6-7. And then the big one from Kyrie, 38, 3-6, 3 steals and 1 block. If only DJ Augustine could play defense.
Yeah, this is kind of a problem for Detroit.
Yeah, I put it this morning. I was like, you know, Detroit's going to miss Brandon Jennings, but who would have thought they'd miss his defense this bad?
Yeah, that's, man. At least this is back-to-back games for DJ. You can sell him for a high-end guy, by all means.
Yeah, DJ played well, you know, for the stats. 19-4-9, 2 steals, hit 3 trays. Did have 5 turnovers, but you'll take that from a starting point guard in a pretty good line.
Yeah. I mean, in these 36 minutes, we should pretty much just pencil that in and assume that's what's going to stick.
I'm not huge on Mozgov, but even though he only played 20 minutes and they ended up going to Tristan Thompson, who had 12 rebounds, but, you know, Mozgov, 6 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, an assist. He's been playing decent for him. I don't know why the minutes were so low, but I think you kind of have to build that into your projections of him.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick him to go for 30, that's for sure. I think he's kind of in the same category as Alex Lynn.
Yeah. But I feel like when we did our big man ramble a couple of weeks ago, we probably had Lynn at least 3 or 4 guys ahead of Mozgov.
Yeah, and I think I still would. I think the blocks will still be won by Lynn by a fair amount. I'd stick with Lynn over Mozgov, and I'm not really looking forward to having Mozgov anywhere. And then you throw in Cleveland's bad playoff schedule. And
that's a good point. But for a streamer, you know, short term, if you need big man stats.
Yeah, I mean, if you wound up missing out on, like, all those other guys.
Yeah. Speaking of missing out, oh my, Kevin Love is so bad. 7-8-4 with no steals or blocks, shoots only 3 of 11, 1 from 8 from downtown. It's gone so bad, and you can't even buy low because of that playoff schedule.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, he's 43% shooting on the year, 34% from downtown. See, 3 out of the last 10, he scored less than 10 points. All over the place. There's, I mean, you know, career low in block in rebounds per 36. Everything is down, like, across the board.
I got to say, when we were doing pre-ranks, and, you know, I wasn't high on Love at all, but I think I was already below the consensus, but you were like, you were not touching him like the plague.
No, I said Chris Bosch, and I said it over and over again.
Yeah, that's looking like a Bosch win right there. Yeah. I can't
have Chris Bosch.
I can't believe Love has been this bad. I mean, I figured it wouldn't be great, but not this bad.
There's only one ball out there, and we knew Kyrie would get his. I mean, I don't think we ever doubted that. I don't know. I don't think this was really out of nowhere.
Yeah. You're probably right there. To the Pistons, Andre Drummond is getting a little bit back on track. 12-17 with 6 blocks and his normal 0-for-4 free throws. other than, you know, we talked DJ already, not too much interesting going on for Detroit, except for I do want to mention Anthony Tolliver has actually kind of carved out an interesting role. 16 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, hit 3 trays last night. You know, he's played 27-plus minutes in 3 of the past 4 games. He's got 3s in 8 straight games. You know, he's low in Thragnoff, and they're playing,
yeah, I mean,
playing the Sixers.
When Josh Smith was dropped, Stan Van kept saying, oh, it's going to be Jonas Derebko. He's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
He goes DNP. Mm-hmm. No, it's Tolliver. It's Tolliver all the way.
Yeah. Van Gundy's loving his 3-point stretch bench guys. So
he's hit good percent.
Yeah.
He's always kind of done that, though. I mean, he's a good shooter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was an interesting Thragnoff last year for the Bobcats at a time for some stretches, but... Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up in case you're in a deep league streaming for some trays. So to the game I watched the most last night, we got Bucks going into your Miami Heat and beating your Heat. Did you watch any of that game?
No, I didn't see it.
The Bucks were actually down, but then came back. Jared Bayless played 22 great minutes, really led that comeback in the fourth quarter. He goes 15-4-7. You know, he's actually been a good source of assists the last 4 games, but, I mean, no real consistency there.
Yeah, I'm looking at this box score, and I'm seeing, what, Ilyasova and Wade went down in the same game?
Yeah, Ilyasova goes down with a groin strain. Wade strains his other hamstring, as opposed to the one that was hurt before. I don't know. He's out of hamstrings.
Good thing he's only got 2.
Yeah. He needs a replacement. So, yeah, with Ilyasova down, Kidd just moved Anadokounmpo to a lot of power forward minutes. They went really small in this game.
Yeah, the Heat like that because we like playing our 2-point guards together, so
yeah.
I'm sure the Heat didn't mind it. But, you know, what'd they have for Whiteside? Nothing.
Yeah, Whiteside, that's what I teased in the open. I mean, he doesn't get a block, but he plays 36 starting minutes and goes 16-16. With an assist and a steal, and hits all 4 of his free throws. He just is so big, and he's pretty agile for his size.
Very, yeah. He's that ankle injury is completely a thing of the past. And I think I might wait till Dan is on to really go into this one.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and in this game, I said it yesterday when you said the over-under for Whiteside's blocks that, you know, Pachulia's a jump shooter. You know, Brandon Knight wasn't really driving that much. The Bucks were taking jumpers the whole game. So
it's because you can't. There is no easy shots within, you know, 3-4 feet of the basket. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I mean, And the Bucks, you know, they're not only did they want to take jumpers, they were hitting them. They shot 55% last night, hit 9 of 16 from deep. I mean, they just were hitting all their jumpers. So there was absolutely no reason to try to drive to the basket, and that's why Whiteside gets no blocks. So
yeah, they'll be there. I have no worries at all.
Agree. Anything else for the Bucks? I mean, Chris Middleton's on a good run. 17-3-1 with the steal, hits 7-9, hits his three trays.
He's been good. At least they're playing a pretty set rotation. You know, we know if we need to go out and find, you know, a couple of threes on the weekend, that we can pretty much trust OJ Mayo will give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. It's a reliable rotation.
Cheer Heat. You know, I thought James Ennis looked pretty good, but doesn't really do much in 19 minutes. Gets 5 fouls, but he really needs a chance at some point.
I think he just needs consistent minutes. That's the biggest problem right now.
So you're saying Danny Granger playing 36 starting minutes is...
That can't possibly last more than one game. Played 12 the game before.
I know. It's been up and down. Really nothing else interesting for the Heat. I mean, Norris Cole looks like he hopscotched.
No, Dang. You know, Dang was out. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dang's out. Cole hopscotches Napier for minutes. It's just,
I think that's about trade value.
Yeah. Mario Chalmers plays well. 24-2-8. And he seems to always play, well, not always, tends to play well without Wade. You know, didn't do too hot when Wade was out the couple games a week or two ago. But Wade's probably going to be out for a couple more games. I think Chalmers is worth owning while Wade's out again.
I guess. Chalmers with 12 free throw attempts. That's strange.
Aggressive!
He's not the kind of guy that draws contact at the basket or anything.
Yeah.
It's odd.
I don't have any main takeaways. I didn't really like notice that during the game flow. Just probably one of those things.
Yeah, outlier for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right, we got Memphis at Dallas. And I put this in this morning's article. The Mavericks are one of the most boring fantasy teams because everyone does what you kind of expect. You know what I mean? You got Dirk is, you know, declining, but meh. Chandler Parsons is, you know, if he gets hot, he scores some points, but he's kind of meh. Tyson Chandler usually gets a few more boards. He only had 5 boards last night and gets some blocks. Monta Ellis gets his points. Rondo gets his turnovers. It's a pretty boring set rotation team.
Yeah, it's a jump shooting team. I see 7 of 10 free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't watch too much Dallas.
I don't really either.
I mean, they're a good team. I'll give them that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're a bad team. It's just fantasy analysis-wise, every time I look at the Mavericks, I'm bored. I yawn a little bit.
Yeah, they all take away a little bit from each other.
Yeah. There's
just too many good players, and they're all willing to give up stats to get wins.
Mm-hmm. A guy for deep league radar that I saw you picked up in REL that I think we mentioned in passing and comments to each other is Dwight Powell. Looks pretty good. You know, 14 minutes, doesn't do too much. Gets 4 fouls. It's 3 boards and a steal. But he looks like a decent little player.
Yeah, I like him. I like what he did at Stanford. He was a 4-year player.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's a smart kid. And he fits Dallas. He's not the rookie that's just going to go out there a million miles per hour and play out of control. He's not that kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
And when these guys get rested, when Dirk gets rested, when Tyson gets rested, he should be the main benefactor.
So you're saying Charlie Villanueva is not going to start and play 35 minutes?
I think he only comes off the bench when there's a blowout.
Yeah, that was an annoying REL pickup for me because they looked like they were going to play him 15 or 20 minutes, and now they're just not.
You should have known better.
I should have known better.
When you watch him play, I mean, you notice he can't guard anyone, but
true.
He's one of those guys that there's no offense. Once the ball hits his hands, he shoots it.
Yeah, he was hitting them. He was doing all right. Can sneak in a block. Had a block last night in 6 minutes.
Yeah, he shouldn't be in the rotation.
To the Grizzlies, you want to know who else shouldn't be in the rotation? That's Jeff Green. Gets, yes, he should. I know. I'm kidding. But he gets 31 starting minutes, does very little. 8-5-2. No steals, no blocks. Hits two trays. He's so boring. He's boring like the Mavericks are boring.
Yeah, but he fits the team well.
Yeah. I just like I said, I think last week, I think the there won't be the highs and the lowers will be lower than when he was on the Celtics.
Yeah. You think the lows will be lower? I think his minutes will be consistent. I don't think he'll he'll get benched for the bench for the benched for the bench.
Bench yeah. for the bench. The bench like, coming into the game.
Brad Stevens loves to do. So well, I think he'll be consistently at 30-31 minutes.
And I mean,
he's not 12 team ownable though. There's better out there.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. I mean, the lows not necessarily in minutes, but just in production. I mean, he's at, you know, 7 or under shots in 3 of the last 4 games. Just not okay. Doesn't do much.
No, he's very willing to defer. Yeah. I think it might pick up as he gets used to the offense. There's definitely that possibility.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe there is some upside as he gels.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it upside.
Yeah, I just want nothing to do with Jeff Green. So Mike Conley sits. You know, he dressed for the game, was ready for emergency, but they didn't need him at all. They blew Dallas out. Udry, you know, plays 21 solid minutes, but then they go to Calathes for 27 off the bench. It's kind of a situation to avoid if Conley misses another game.
I'm so glad they played him.
Played who? Calathes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that with their off-season screw-him-over team philosophy.
No, it's just $2 million, nothing big. But, no, he's not bad. He hasn't been shooting the threes like this, so I don't know. It's going to, you know, whoever plays better is going to play that night. Neither one of them have any chance of overtaking Conley, obviously, if Conley's, you know, even remotely healthy.
Yeah. I mean, Calathes had a really good stretch last year when Conley was down. You know, if Conley does miss a lot of time at some point later in the year, maybe they do unleash Calathes again.
Maybe. He's a high-end assist guy. That's what we like about him.
Yeah. All right, so to the best game last night, we had the Bulls go into Golden State and win in overtime on Derrick Rose's step-back winner to get him 30 points.
Yeah, to give you 30 points, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Wow, he had 11 turnovers to one
assist. To one assist, and he didn't even get that assist until, like, late in the fourth quarter, I think. I mean, he had double-digit turnovers and no assists for a while.
Wow, that's bad.
Yeah, he is that. I mean, the Bulls feeling the pressure without Jimmy Butler. He was out with an illness, so nothing serious there. But, hey, you know, credit the Bulls. They won in Golden State without their best player.
Yeah, it looks like they played Mirotić at quite a few small forward minutes.
Yeah, interesting that they gave him 31 minutes. You know, he plays fine, but doesn't do too much. 12-7-1 with a steal, a couple trays. But, I mean, this game was won by the Bulls' big men. I mean, both had fantastic games. Pau Gasol for 18-16 and 8 assists with 4 blocks. And Noah for 18-15 with 6 assists and 2 steals. Yes, that's right. Noah and Gasol for 14 assists while Rose had 1.
One. That is amazing. But people who own Noah, they've been waiting for this one for a little while.
Yeah, I was trying to buy Noah. I was trying to buy Loa. I was trying to buy Noah Lowe in several leagues and was unsuccessful. So.
Yeah, I think if I had him, I'd be looking to sell a little bit off of this.
Yeah. Not
to sell high. This isn't a sell low moment, obviously.
And, I mean, I was offering pretty bottom barrel offers. I saw a couple comments where people were talking about dropping Noah in, like, 8 or 10 team leagues.
Yeah, when he's not scoring, it's hard to see the production, but it's still there.
Yeah, so a nice bounce back there. You know I love my Tony Snell. It's good to see him starting. You know, it doesn't do much, but he's a good player. They need to.
Yeah. And how about that McDermott draft pick?
They're loving that one. Yeah, not looking. They could have had Nurkic, too, but they didn't need a big man.
They had multiple injuries at the wing spots, and they can't get McDermott on the floor. Yikes.
To the Warriors, Klay Thompson, 30 points again.
Okay. I mean, starting to get kind of a routine.
Yeah. And the outlier here is the 10 boards. 30, 10, 2, 1, 0, hits four trays, took 27 shots. Which, I mean, I guess isn't that big a deal because it's Klay Thompson lately, but I don't know. It's when Curry only takes 23. Curry's just, he's not taking the shots when Klay Thompson's this hot.
I don't know. 23 shots is a whole lot of shots. He must have just been missing them.
Yeah, 9 for 23. It's not that good. You know, they only 2 for 9 from downtown. I think Stephen Curry was just trying to get the three-point stroke going that he knows that he's going to be in the three-point contest with Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I imagine there's a little bit of competition going on there.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe a friendly wager.
Those guys don't make any money. They probably couldn't wager much.
Their friendly wagers are more than I make in a year.
Draymond plays awesome. What else is new there? What do you make out of David Lee? 30 minutes, goes 24, 9, and 6. No steals and blocks. And also no Andrew Bogut this game. But
flu. I don't think he was injured.
No, yeah. He had a flu. The flu.
So, yeah, this is actually, they finally didn't have a blowout, right?
Yeah. So there's that. Well, they lost, so yeah.
Well, yeah, they don't get blown. Well, they actually got blown out by OKC. Well, whatever.
Yeah. But
no,
yeah.
I don't. I think with everyone healthy, there's no way he plays 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they want to run him out there 30 every night.
I don't think so either. I think this is. I'm not changing my value on David Lee after this game.
No, and he's always been a decent assist guy, but. Come on, he's not in 6 last game, 7 the game before, and only like 16 minutes. He's not that kind of assist guy.
Yeah, agree. Fluke there. You want to know what else would have been a fluke is if the Lakers had beat the Wizards. But hey, the Lakers had a lead for a lot of this game, and they let it completely evaporate. And it's their own fault for not playing Tariq Black. Makes no sense. I hate it. I think Byron Scott's a moron. And they would have won the game if Black had played 20 minutes.
I don't know what he's thinking there.
I mean, play Tariq Black the 29 starting minutes that Sacre played. Sacre's terrible.
We've known that for a long time.
I know.
You know. It's his first year. He's got to figure it out on his own.
He
can't just call up, what's his name? I can't remember his name now. What was that guy? Who was that guy that coached the Lakers last year?
The D'Antoni?
There you go.
Wow, a forgotten name in the NBA, D'Antoni.
Yeah, you can't really call up D'Antoni and ask, how do you play Sacre? So he'll figure it out. He'll figure out he shouldn't be playing, I should say.
So the big game for the Lakers is obviously Wayne Ellington goes 28-3-3 with 3 steals, hits 12 of 20, including 3 of 9 from downtown. No Nick Young. He's got a minor ankle injury. You know, Nick Young never made a shot he didn't want to take. I think this is kind of a fluke game. If you want to pick him up for the upside, if you need some threes and scoring, sure. But I just think it was a hot game from a shooter.
Yeah, I feel fairly good about the minutes. I don't think why is Wesley Johnson coming off the bench for Ryan Kelly?
It's a good question.
Whatever. He's trying to figure something out.
Yeah.
I feel good about Ellington, though. I think he's one of the better players on that team.
Yeah. I mean,
he's about the only one that can score.
Yeah, his shot looks good. I mean, you know, I was much bigger Chapel Hill fan when he played there. Always had a really smooth, good shot. But, I mean, you look at his game line. I mean, he played 40 minutes 8 or 9 games ago. And in that game, 13-3-3. You know, I think that's closer than the 28-3-3, you know.
Oh, definitely Thragnoff, unquestionably.
Yeah. And, you know,
but he should do it with pretty low turnovers, like extremely low turnovers, which we always like.
That's true. I mean, you look at his steals, and, you know, he had 3 steals last night, but he has only 2 other steals in his last 10 games, you know. It's very Thragnoff-y, agreed. I did, in, you know, full disclosure, I picked him up in one of the RCL leagues, but I needed 3s on that team, so, you know.
I'm trying to think about who I would compare him to. And he's not there. I mean, it's close, but he's almost like a Wesley Matthews.
Whoa. Wesley Matthews is like, I'm going to punch that slim next time I see him.
Well, Wesley Matthews is averaging a lot of minutes.
Yeah,
and is taking 7.7 threes a game. So he's not – I said almost, but, you know, I mean, Ellington's at a career-high 46% shooting, and he's always been a good three-point shooter, you know, 40-ish percent. I think he could go for 2-plus threes per game, you know, keeping the turnovers down. Not a great steals guy like Wesley Matthews. I think it's pretty comparable.
I don't trust Ellington to play big minutes. Matthews is at 3.1 threes. Matthews at 1.1 steals. Ellington will be under that. I don't know. We'll see. I just think he's...
I'm saying that would be the ceiling, and that would be the type, the player type that you would be looking, you would be expecting from Ellington.
Sounds like you like Ellington a little bit more than me. You've got pictures of Wayne Ellington posted around your bedroom. Think about him when you go to sleep.
He's got to take the shots. Nobody else is going to take those shots.
Nick Young will when he's back.
Yeah, I don't. His diagnosis wasn't great.
It was like a minor sprain.
MRI on an ankle sprain.
They're just trying to keep him out for a little bit because they hate him. Everyone hates him.
Nick Young plays probably more at the three anyway, but. No, I like Wellington. Ellington.
Wellington. The Duke of Wellington.
Yeah, if you say his first name with the last.
No, I got you. Hey, I said Loa for so low for Noah. So, all right, so Jordan Clarkson has a decent game, goes 18-3-3, but he really just has no facilitating vision to him. He was just taking jumpers and floaters the whole game.
Yeah, but he's so raw.
Yeah,
I like his future with this team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Clarkson or Marcus Smart after this game last night.
It's pretty close, and I mean, definitely Clarkson for scoring. I don't think there's any question
there. Yeah, I agree there, but I think overall I'm going to go Marcus Smart. More steals, more assists upside, more threes upside probably too.
Yeah, definitely more threes because that's all he's taking.
Yeah.
Which means we should be saying some field goal upside for Clarkson, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know. I mean, I like him in the future. Next year, if he's got a role, I'll be pretty excited about him.
That's if they don't get Reggie Jackson.
One thing about Clarkson is I think he can play two positions. I think he'll be able to play alongside pretty much any point guard
get. That's true. He could do some combo guard. He's big.
He could get 25 minutes off the bench, you know, with a fully healthy, fully reloaded Laker team next year.
Interesting, yeah. It's possible.
Everybody's coming off the books. He's about the only guy not coming off the books.
You're saying they're not going to keep Robert Sacre for life?
Not if they have a choice. I'm guessing, considering all the free agent hoopla that the Knicks were going through, I'm guessing the Lakers are thinking the same thing.
Yeah, they probably are. Real quick with the Wizards, Otto Porter starts for Paul Pierce. I thought Porter looked pretty good. Goes 12-4 with one steal. I mean, the stat sheet isn't huge, but I thought he just looked good at the eye level. I watched some of this game as well.
There's several teams he'd be the best player on.
Really?
Be the best player on the Lakers, the 76ers. Yeah. He'd be the best player on the Knicks. Yeah. Who else?
Actually, I agree with all of those, I think.
There might be more. I'm not sure. But, yeah, he's a good player. He's on a team that... That's too good. Too good to let the youngsters come in and go full bore.
Yeah, and if Paul Pierce, if you know in advance he's going to get a DMP, grab a... I think Porter's a good daily play and stream play. So
good steals, good threes. He's going to be more than just a Thragnoff.
Yeah.
And maybe next year's his year.
Maybe. Yeah. Another guy who I think that might happen for is Kevin Serafin. He looked great in 15 minutes. He only shoots 2 of 6. He missed a couple jumpers, but goes 7-6-1. Hits 3 or 4 free throws. That's another one just at the eye level. I've talked about him a couple times. I think he's going to turn into a really good player if he's given a chance.
I guess. I mean, he had his chance a couple years back.
He was so young. He's still
pretty reliably.
He's still really young.
Yeah, and the free throws have come up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be a starter.
I mean, he's only 25 still. I mean, he's still young. So
in NBA years, that's definitely past.
He's not given the time to flourish ever since his really young rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, this is his fifth year in the league.
Yeah, so I think he's going to surprise.
I think he's got a 10-year career ahead of him. Well, you know, he's already played five, so.
Yeah.
He'll be around. He'll be playing. Yeah, he's getting better, which is always something you like to see.
Mm-hmm. And last thing real quick is obviously John Wall has the big game, goes 21-9-13 with three steals. Very odd, only 5 of 12 free throws, but he reportedly dealt with, well, he came into the game with a sore Achilles, apparently sprained both of his ankles and had a migraine during the game, yet still had this game. I don't know, we could see Wall getting set for a DNP sometime soon to rest him up.
Maybe.
Yeah,
we have to wait and see how the how it starts to, you know, the playoff seeding starts to settle in.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Right now, I'm not. You know, I think they're just gonna, you know, hope for the best with the All-Star break and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's All-Star break is gonna really help them out.
So. And we have an extended All-Star break nowadays.
It's pretty long.
Yeah, I think it's almost a week long.
Yeah, it's gotten longer. So yeah, that should do Wall some wonders. And joining us on the Razzball Basketball Podcast is our own Dan A. Good to have him in. I pulled him over from his cubicle into our cubicle in our virtual Razzball Basketball office. If only it was that way, we would have a ton of fun at an office, wouldn't we?
It's funny because even in the virtual office, I still get the crappiest cubicle. I don't quite understand what's going on, but glad to be here, guys.
Mine's not that good either. Gray's got that quarter office with the big windows, and we just all yell at Gray the whole time for that.
we just make fun of him by the virtual water cooler.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That water cooler gets so many Gray slams, it's out of control. So how are you doing today up there in the great white north?
We are loving life right now. We're, contrary to maybe, well, probably no one thinks about it, but, we are not experiencing any weather issues up here. It's just business as usual for us.
Yeah. Well, even if there is like a foot of snow, that's like business as usual for Canadians, right?
Yeah. Well, right now in Toronto, we have actually no snow. It's just frozen ground. It's a frozen wasteland. But
how about them naming these storms? Do you get that up there?
Yeah, we do, but it just doesn't really get the same catch. I mean, we're landlocked. I mean, we have the lake effect because of the Great Lakes, but we just don't get the same snow. Like, even just close by, you know, Buffalo gets substantially more snow than we do, but... don't get me wrong, we get our fair share, but we're just hardier. It's kind of, we wear it like a badge of honor. You'll have guys in January still wearing shorts, and people still play basketball up here. As crazy as that sounds, mostly indoors, but you'll see people shooting hoops on a 0-degree day. So that's Celsius. That's 32 for you, you guys who refuse to get on board the metric system. So
metric system's just so much better, but it's confusing to us because we had to learn this stupid system. Like zero is freezing. That makes so much sense. But no, we've got to learn that 32 is freezing.
all my projections are in metric.
That's right. You don't think that they'll be doing 3 pints of steals this or 3 quarts?
That went so over my head. You have no idea. So, Dan, your buy-sell article is out now. You write your buy-sell every Wednesday on basketball.razzball.com. And we love chatting with you with some of your picks. And one guy I want to start with is someone that I think you and Slim can get on board with. Is we just talked a little bit about Wayne Ellington. You have him as a buy. You know, if he's out there on the wire, I'm fine with that. But if he has a couple of good games, I think he's a real quick sell.
Oh, yeah. Just the name of the article is Searching Through the Basketball Bargain Bin. So, you know, consider that, you know, I don't think that this guy is going to be a savior by any stretch. But he is definitely, I mean, as I said in the article, I thought that Wes Johnson would be the one who got the lion's share of touches. But it doesn't seem to be that way thus far. He's putting up great numbers in the last 4 games, so certainly you ride him while he's hot.
That sounds like a Snoop Dogg lyric.
Yeah, what? No, it's also that in Lakerland, like, there's Kobe's out, Nick Young is injured. I know that short term, but like they're just the walking wounded over there. Are they on their third point guard? Lin, such as it is, may as well be injured. But so it's there's definitely touches, right? So you know, I feel often where there's flux in those lower tier teams is where you can get a lot of rise out of a player who can come to the fore, at least for streaming purposes, at any rate.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's interesting is, and I agree with you on this one, is Joe Johnson as a bye, if he indeed gets traded to Charlotte. I think Joe Johnson could be great for the Hornets.
Yes, no, I agree as well. I mean, listen, his numbers, he's been putting up consistent numbers and he's been playing well. And recently, the reason that he would be a particularly good buy, I don't know how, if this actually translates when you're actually doing deals, but in the last few games, he's had subpar games. He's had single-digit games, so he's in a bit of a mini dip. So you might be able to get him, you know, I don't know, 80 cents on the dollar for whatever that's worth. But in addition to that, I think the big thing, as you just mentioned, like if he gets traded, that's where he gets the real bump in value. Because I agree, if he's right now, he's really the only guy. He gets the best defense. He doesn't really have bigs that are as reliable as, you know, Jefferson would be, for example. So it would be definitely a move upward for him, in my opinion.
So you're saying Brooke Lopez isn't as dependable as Al Jefferson?
No, I don't care for the Lopez brothers, unfortunately. And I know, I think we all are on board with that. I certainly would, he'd be a throw-in. You can't deny his offensive prowess. It's just that, you know, he's a black hole and he's injured all the time. So I don't like those guys on my roster.
Well, my Robin Lopez slams last year ended up not working out because he stayed healthy and useful for the Blazers, but whatever. Slim, what did you think about Dan Sells?
Yeah, well, you know, as a Heat fan, I try really hard to not let that affect me too much, but, man, I'm not giving Whiteside up for nothing right now. And I don't think I would give him up for Tyson Chandler.
Wow, that's like me and Kyle Lowry. I have to admit a bias. Listen, I completely agree. The 12 block, I don't know if I've ever – I mean, I don't know if that's that can't be the all-time NBA record, but 12 blocks in one game is just outrageous. And the kid's exciting to watch. Certainly, if he can stay out of foul trouble, there's no one pushing him, that's for sure. But you know, in the article, that, as I say, in the mantra, like in that stat, is you try and sell high and, you know, buy low. And certainly, I think he's at his zenith. I don't know if he can expect much more than this, or more to the point, I don't know if he can keep up this kind of production, just because the team is also in flux as well. But he is incredibly exciting. And as I said in my article, a little blurb for him, he's probably the best story in the league right now. So I just figured you might be able to capitalize on that.
It's like Larry Sanders from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, speaking of Larry Sanders, oh my goodness. I read his blurb when I was doing some research. The scuttlebutt that he doesn't even want to play anymore. Like he wants to take his ball and go home sort of thing. Or he $60 million.
Take the money with him.
Yeah, exactly. But no, you're absolutely right. And listen, there 2 years ago, and then there was, there's always a guy who comes forward, right? So I'm definitely not down on the guy. I just feel like if you're gonna sell, or if you want to move, if you have a glut of bigs and need a guard, or you know, that sort of situation, then obviously a guy you picked up off the waiver, you're not getting rid of your, you know, number one big that you picked up in your first or second or third round sort of thing.
No, I think just even comparing him to Tyson Chandler, I mean, Chandler's playing like, what, a third round, fourth round guy this year? So just that, you know, we're always talking in that range.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you have to put, I mean, that's why I said, put him out there as kind of the barometer. But I mean, what do you think about his offensive touch? Like, do you think that he is it's enough if he just gets boards and blocks? Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, to be a really complete player, and also the foul trouble issue is the other thing I had mentioned. Like, in five games, he had two games where he played 11 minutes and then 15 minutes. That's a bit of a roller coaster issue too.
That was a little bit different. The 15 minutes was Cousins, so that's all Cousins. But the 11 minutes was the game he actually got hurt in the second quarter, and he was really about to blow up in that game. I think that's a little bit of an outlier.
Okay, fair enough. That's
As for the shooting, like, he doesn't do anything but dunk the ball, basically. So whether he gets offense is completely dependent on the guards.
And yeah,
they've given it to him. I mean, they do like what he does to the crowd, you know.
Well, I think you should quantify that. The team probably likes the guards like giving it to him, but Wade and Bosch are not exactly pass happy guys. Wade a little bit more so, but you know, listen. I don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that the guys. It's because he's great is why I think you should sell him. Is basically my point. But I can see your point. I also said like. In that blurb that if you want to write it out, I completely understand, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I traded him a JB in our Dynasty League, and I traded for a guard because I needed a guard, and it's just I had to do it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. That's agree, if you picked up Whiteside and you're just loaded at big man, Whiteside's a good sell. So agree with you there. Well, thanks again for hopping on with us, Dan. Hey, do you want to stay on for another segment with us? Talk a little bit of your RCL team?
Sure, I could stay with you quickly. That'd be fine. The RCL is going okay. I'm middling away, so it's a little bit embarrassing, but I'd be glad to discuss it with you, sure.
All right, let's go straight into that. All right, so looking at our RCL leaders, we've got the Akron LeBrons. First time we've had Pops' team not the number one RCL team in, Lord, probably 8 or 9 weeks. Pops' team was on quite a roll there, but his team of old men lost Kobe Bryant for the year. Looks like Wade's hurt again. The old man syndrome's getting Pops' team. But it's interesting looking at Akron LeBrons' team. No real, like, superstars, just a real solid team top to bottom. I mean, Chris Paul's a superstar, sure, but started his draft with Chris Paul and then Kyrie Irving, and then got great value with Klay Thompson, Danny Green, Tyreke Evans, and then Pau Gasol manning that down low. I said in today's article that Gasol, for what he's doing after the vertigo scare and some injuries to be what he's doing this year is one of the bigger breakouts this season.
Yeah, it's that Chicago Thibodeau effect. He loves playing guys to death.
Yeah, for Gasol to have been healthy all year and put up the numbers he has, that's been, I mean, for this team to have been able to draft Paul, Irving, and then Klay Thompson, and then to wait on a big and get Pau Gasol, and then Gasol to be this good, it's easy to see why this team's doing so well.
You guys do so many of these podcasts, you probably won't remember, but in the first podcast I joined you with, I was actually talking about Pau Gasol and how much I thought he'd be doing well. So this is probably the only time I can tip my fedora. And
I didn't remember, but I do. As soon as you started mentioning that, I remember that conversation now. You had Gasol as a buy.
I did have a buy, and you thought at the time that he was at a zenith that, you know, he wasn't going to keep it up. So, thus far, he has. We all know, you know, with Thibodeau, especially a guy like Gasol, there's always an injury concern because he plays him so much. But he stayed healthy, and he's been just absolutely outstanding. The team on it, you know, hasn't been as great behind him, but he's been the one who's been absolutely consistent there. And Butler as well, of course. But,
yeah. I mean, you look at Gasol, he's at a career-high blocks at 2.2. He's only been over 2 twice in his lengthy career, and he's at a career-high 11.9 rebounds. I mean, it's just wild the year he's having to maintain career highs in those numbers. But, you know, oh, wow, he's at a career-high free throw percentage as well at 82.5%. So just everything going great for Gasol.
Sorry, he has such soft hands, but when you actually watch him play, he's not, I mean, he's the anti-athletic guy. He's lumbering, he's got about a 6-inch vertical, and yet he's pulling down boards. It's all, you know, fundamental boxing out and you know, soft touch around the rim. But it's funny that he's so productive when he just seems like a lumpy out there. but he's getting it done. So, you know, more power to him.
Yeah, I bet when he plays his brother, I bet they don't really stop each other ever. They just both score every time.
Yeah. It's like the opposite of the you remember the Wallace Detroit's Wallace, Ben Wallace, when it was like if they played, he played himself on 1-on-1, the score would be 0-0. It's kind of the opposite to that, where it's they don't seem to be you know, defensive stalwarts, and yet you know, they're both playing quite well. I mean, exceptionally well, of course.
Yep. So Akron LeBron's at 82-35 with 164 RCL points. Pops his team a half game behind at 163. And Slim, you're doing pretty good at 153 in your RCL.
Sixth I'm dropping. Place. I lost Kemba, so I'm dealing with that.
Yeah. What happened to your Slim team in our RCL? That one's falling down a little bit after I smacked you around.
I mean, it's tough, you know. You wind up winning 5-4, you lose ground.
Yeah, yeah. When you're comparing 144 teams, certainly the teams at the top, if you have a losing week, then you're gonna fall. It's the way of the land. So Dan, where is your team? How's your team doing this year in the RCLs?
I've started the Razzball League Awesome, and I'm right smack dab in the middle, right in the gut. I'm sitting at 58-55 in sixth place, and four ties, and it just, you know, it's the sort of thing where you hope that certain moves at the beginning. I did luck out in getting Jeff Teague in the fifth round. So I'm, you know, he's a guy I actually thought was going to be secondary, but I had KD as my first pick. And, you know, that kind of set me behind because I had to hold on to him, obviously. And I also have been stubbornly holding on to Thad Young, who's been playing better of late. He gets more steals than any other power forward. But that's, you know, he's been frustrating, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's picked it up a little bit lately. I actually, someone dropped him in one of my RCLs, so.
He was probably like me, who's had him since the beginning and just has been pulling your hair out for the first, you know, 8 or 10 weeks, where it's just like, when is this guy going to pick it up? And then you swoop in and act the hero, and finally, yeah, patience is a virtue, they say.
Yeah, acting the hero, that's my middle name. It's funny that your team is, so I'm actually in my RCL with Slim. I'm at 56-57-4, and I had Kevin Durant as well. And then my second pick was Jefferson, so I missed a month of Jefferson, so injuries have been tough, but it's funny how similar our trajectories have been as KD owners.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the sort of thing, especially in an RCL, if you were to have made a move, it would have had to have been at the beginning, because once you got closer and closer, you just can't give them up.
Yeah.
But decisive is, I think, the term. That, like, him and Westbrook, you know, the lesson to be gleaned here, listeners, is that if next year at the beginning your star goes down, try and get something for him right off the bat, or ride it out. But
yeah,
riding it out isn't all that sexy.
I think it's different in RCLs because you want to try to build such a good record before going into the playoffs, so you have a chance at the RCL title. And in a standard league where all you care about is winning the championship, I think you can be a little bit more patient.
That's correct.
Yeah. Slim, any other thoughts on RCLs? Team's doing all
right? No, just riding it out.
Yeah.
We're starting to lose some people now, so we're definitely getting the good and the bad is starting to separate itself.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the RCL winners, you know, prize of me embarrassing myself in an eating contest is enough to keep a lot of people in it. So should be exciting.
In an eating contest.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of the prizes. On top of getting Razzball gear and getting on the Wall of Fame, I'm going to do another video this year of doing some sort of eating contest of their choice. So,
like a la Kubayashi?
I mean, I'll...
A tub of mayonnaise?
I think I put a prerequisite that it can't be anything gross. I think I'm going to put tub of mayonnaise into the gross category.
Yeah, I have trouble with just a scoop of mayonnaise.
Yeah, I mean, I like mayo on my sandwich like anyone else, but yeah. We're gonna, yeah, anything spicy or volume.
Mayo is a national treasure up here in Canada.
That's true, you guys just live on that stuff.
We're more European than American, it's like we dip our fries in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I won't lie, fries and mayo is pretty good, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
Showing a little culture there.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta have something else than the Poutine's reference that I used to do with Nick back in the day.
That's right.
Well, thanks, guys, for or thanks, Dan, for hopping on. Appreciate everyone playing in RCLs this year. And, Dan, we'll catch you again down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy, man. Thanks again for Dan hopping on with us, talking his buy, sell, his Raptors, and his RCL teams. Looking ahead to tonight's schedule, it is a heavy Wednesday as usual. We have got 11 games, so almost everyone is going. So be sure to try to have a full lineup. A lot of streamer options if you have an extra spot. What are you going to be watching tonight, Slim?
I mean, I kind of want to see a little bit of Galloway, but without Durant, I'm not sure how entertaining that game's really going to be.
Yeah.
That Portland-Cleveland game, the early one.
That's a good one.
Just some pretty good teams playing.
Yeah, Kyrie off the hot game going against Damian Lillard.
Yeah. And Love matching up with Aldridge. That's a whole lot of jump shots.
Ugh, Love is Love or Batum? Which one's been a bigger bust?
I would have to say Batum.
Really? I was going to say Love because he went around earlier.
I guess, but I think that was that was kind of a little foretold as compared to Batum. We didn't expect any drop off from Batum.
Yeah, I guess that's true there. As I mentioned earlier, Tolliver has made a nice role for himself on the Pistons. The Pistons are going at Philly. You expect a lot of bench guys to get some extra run, so I think Tolliver can hit maybe three threes for you tonight. So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm trying to think of anything else interesting, so looking at quickly at the news, Mo Williams is going to be out tonight, so Zach LaVine is a nice streamer, daily league option. Melo's questionable. Boston is going to play Evan Turner. So Marcus Smart fans are going to have to keep waiting.
Yay, I'm so excited.
Ugh. JaVale McGee might be back tonight.
I will look forward to those 5 minutes.
That's what she said. Does this hurt Nurkic, though? You know, maybe not tonight, but long term.
How long term are we talking?
The rest of the season.
Until he blows out something else?
Oh, that's mean.
No, I mean, do you not expect it?
No. You know, sometimes the truth can hurt. That's all I'm getting at.
Nah, they're rebuilding. Yeah. It's Nurk's team.
I'm
not worried about it. There's no way he sends Nurk to the bench. I would be astounded.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, Nurkic is still going to start, but maybe they can even scale him back even more if McGee's going to play off the bench. That's all I'm worried about.
I think we talked about this, you know, the last time McGee had a blurb, and I think it's Hixon that loses minutes to McGee.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
Backup center that Hixon really shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, and the big news that just came out, Kevin Martin is expect to return tonight. So if you're playing in the daily league and that they haven't factored Kevin Martin back to his normal budget yet, he could be a really good value.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
He could very well. I mean, this isn't – I don't know. I don't know how many shots he's been getting up or – I mean, he's been – I mean, didn't he kind of – I don't know, re-injure it, but – something happened that slowed this process.
Yeah, but if he's league minimum in a daily league.
Right, it really helps that both Shabazz and now Mo Williams are out. So there are minutes there. There's no way this is affecting Wiggins.
No, just move Wiggins back to small forward. So
yeah, my guess. I don't think he's going to be that good in a 12-teamer.
No, but like I said, in a daily league, daily fantasy, if he's,
I guess, he's always been empty points though. I mean,
I could see him being really cheap because he's just returning today, and they've probably already released their prices and all those. So
possibly.
All I'm getting at. All right, so the top 10 scorers to make our 30-point challenge picks that we cannot pick, cannot go with Curry, not playing. Blake, Klay Thompson, Aldridge, Melo, Cousins, Brow, Westbrook, Durant, LeBron, or James Harden. So who do you have for 30 points tonight?
Well, I stole your pick last night, so, I mean, if you want to... You want to go ahead and pick before I can steal it again?
I don't know. I have someone on the tip of my tongue, and it's your favorite player.
Looking You're at really going to go with Boris Diaw?
Yeah, okay. I love Boris Diaw. He scores 30 points every other night, yet somehow isn't a top 10 scorer. let's see here. You know, no, that's too ballsy. I don't like that. Yeah, all right, fine. I'm going to go with your boy, Damian Lillard. I think Kyrie might be a little exhausted from last night.
I would not be surprised.
Yep, so.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm looking at this. How good has Monroe been scoring? Has he been scoring in a good clip?
He gets in the 20s pretty easily, but I don't think he's, if he has a 30-point game this year, it's maybe only been one. Pull it up real quick.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I mean,
up and down.
I think that'd be uber ballsy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not looking at any of these. Nothing else is really jumping out. I'm going to go with Monroe. I think he could destroy the Philadelphia.
Wow. His season high this year is 29 points.
Okay. Well, there you go. I get double points for picking someone's season high?
Sure. Why not? No. Right, just kidding.
Because I got Kyrie's season high yesterday.
Just kidding. You do not. You do not get bonus points.
Don't
I think,
lie to me, man.
I think I should get bonus points for having a guy get 30 points and 11 turnovers.
I don't know if bonus is the right word. But, you get something.
Man, Monroe is at least 8 rebounds the last, like, 20 games and at least 8 points.
I'm thinking DJ is going to be throwing up a lot of bricks and he's going to have plenty of offensive rebound putbacks.
You know, for as much as we can slam Greg Monroe for not getting steals and blocks, he is 8-8 in the bank every single game.
Yeah, he is really turned into Zach Randolph. Pretty solid Zach Randolph.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I think that's going to do it for us today. I'm pretty sure this is already a really long podcast, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Got another special guest tomorrow. It's been a week of interviews. It's been awesome. So we'll catch you then. Have a good one, Slim.
Adios.